Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Just as King Herod wanted to wipe out baby Jesus, so today there is an animosity and an attempt to close places of worship. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this is a story that we want to touch on briefly. It comes out of Hawaii, the Aloha State, and some atheists have sued because two churches for many years have been in a rental agreement with local public schools to use the facility. It's a win-win situation because the schools get the rent from the churches and the churches have a place to ultimately worship.
You know, Matt, it sounds like the same discrimination when we represent the Good News Clubs for Child Evangelism Fellowship, the same thing. They're participating in schools, but they're being discriminated against because they have a Christian message.
Yeah, it's exactly. And so these atheists are wanting to have these rental agreements canceled, and they're asking for these churches to pay back more money than they were even required to do in the rent. Apparently, they're looking at what the rental value might be if they're not renting from a school. But, you know, the schools have these rental fees for places like this where they allow a continual rent by churches or other groups. It's a constitutional process. In fact, for the schools to have the opportunity of outside entities to use the facilities, but then to ban places of worship, churches in particular, that's a violation of the First Amendment. That's already been litigated before. Those kinds of cases have gone to the U.S. Supreme Court. So this is frivolous, but it goes to show you these militant atheists and this opposition to churches to literally close down. It's no longer just disagreement. It's absolute destruction and closure of churches and people of faith.
Right, but they're so triggered by the whole idea that it's a church, they don't stop to look. This is a win-win. The school gets revenue on days that it's otherwise vacant, and the church can meet without having to purchase a building. That's a win-win.
Well, as we're here on Christmas Eve, this is a favorite time of year. 2020 has been a very unusual year for everybody, but it's time at this point, Christmas Eve and this Christmas week, to think about the real reason for the season, to think about what you're happy for and how God has so richly blessed us. It is amazing. When you look at the story of redemption, you can go back, for example, to the time of Moses when he was born, and he ultimately became the savior, if you will, to the people of Israel. He was the chosen one that God raised up to ultimately lead the people of Israel out. He was someone who was called to do something that nobody would envy, and that is confronting Pharaoh. Each time he went before Pharaoh, he was putting his life on the line. This was the most powerful individual in the then known world. It was the most powerful nation in the world. And he goes to Pharaoh and he tells them, "Let my people go. We want to go out and worship the Lord." And you see what happens when he was born. When he's born, the Pharaoh makes an order that all the babies born of 2 years and younger, all those little babies, they need to be taken immediately from these Hebrew women just after they give birth. And these midwives that are helping them to give birth, they're supposed to take that brand new baby and take it away from mom and dad and the family and take it out and kill it. And so many young babies lost their lives. But in this particular case, these midwives did not follow the order of Pharaoh. They disobeyed the order of Pharaoh. They're putting their own lives on the line. And as a result, what happens is, as you know the story, Moses gets put in the basket and he gets put in the Nile River. And then he's found, and miraculously, the mother who birthed him becomes the nurse mother to raise Moses in Pharaoh's palace. It's just like an amazing God story, isn't it?
Yes.
Just incredible.
Absolutely.
But then you come fast forward to Jesus' birth, and the word gets around that the Messiah is born. The wise men come, and others with their entourage, and they come into Jerusalem, and it's quite a spectacle. These are wise men that consult kings, and they're coming from the area where Daniel was ultimately taken, Babylonia, that area, Persia. They're coming from that region. Daniel was around these kinds of people in the book of Daniel. And these are the people that hear and they understand that the Messiah is born in a town called Bethlehem. And they come to Jerusalem. They're there with their entourage. It's not just, you know, a couple of people. It's camels and their entire entourage. And they come in and make a big spectacle in Jerusalem. And then they start making inquiry. Where is the Messiah to be born? They're talking to the Jews who should know the scriptures about where the Messiah was to be born. And they find that it's going to be in Bethlehem of Judea. And so when Herod hears that this group of people, these counselors to kings, are seeking the birth of this baby who would be a king, he summons them in, and he, under pretense, is interested in wanting to see the baby Jesus. And so they depart, and they go away, but they are warned not to go back to him, and they depart, and they leave from Bethlehem in a different way than they came, so that Herod does not notice their departure. And when he finds out where are these people, they're supposed to return, then what happens is he learns that they have tricked him and that they have left without telling him. And that's when he becomes like the Pharaoh of old, and he orders that all the babies 2 years old and under are killed. And so there's weeping, where you have that same situation. Joseph is warned in a dream about Pharaoh's plan, and he takes baby Jesus and Mary, and they flee down to Egypt, where Moses ultimately was. And then at the right time, when King Herod dies, the angel tells him, you can now go back. And they come back in, and the book of Matthew says that was done to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Hosea, out of Egypt have I called my son.
You know, and it's a reminder to me that God sent his only son, Jesus. He became flesh to have a relationship with us, to come down to us, not that we have to try to go to him, but he came to us so that we can have a relationship with him and have eternal life, so that we have hope for eternity. And these days, when it seems like the persecution is just beginning for Christians and it will become more intense, I believe, we always have that hope because we have that covering of God. We're in covenant with him. Just as he protected Jesus during his birth, he will protect us as well when we hold fast to our relationship with him.
Yeah, and so in 2020, we've seen things we've never thought that we would see in America. And maybe, you know, you're looking at it some distant future, but it's here. And where we are is in America, for example, in California, in other places, Virginia with our pastor there, Lighthouse Fellowship Church, in Illinois with the Elim Romanian Pentecostal Church, Logos Baptist Ministry. In Florida, the first pastor that was arrested of the river at Tampa Bay, you have now pastors that are arrested. And Dr. Rodney in Florida spent time in jail for an afternoon. Right. We have a letter from a criminal prosecutor in California threatening even churchgoers with criminal daily charges, each one carrying up to a year in prison for going to church.
And you know, Matt, that persecution is becoming even more intense, but we as the light can dispel the darkness.
Absolutely. And you know, we've seen a lot of pastors that are just weak leaders, and really it's been quite a revelation through 2020. But then we have so much to be thankful for, because we are so blessed, Holly, to work with some incredible leaders and pastors of God all over the country who love the Lord, who are bold, and who will stand up. You know, as we have this attack against Jesus, as we had this attack against Moses, remember Jesus telling the disciples, don't be surprised if they persecute you. They first persecuted me. It's not because they have something against you. It's because they have something against me, speaking about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This is a time to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a time for the church, for you as the body, to stand up and proclaim the name of the Lord and His salvation, to never be intimidated, and to always rejoice because of what He has done for us. For more information, visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.